All right. Hello and welcome to Learning Takes Flight. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking with Noah Anderson about his experience growing up, not only in a Montessori school, but with a mom who is a Montessori teacher. And actually now his older sister is also a Montessori teacher. And now Noah is also employed at the same Montessori school. So definitely been immersed in Montessori his whole entire life. Noah also happens to be my son, and I think we're all going to gain a lot of insight today about the Montessori experience from the perspective of a teen, but I might also learn some more things about my son that I did not previously know. So an exciting episode. But before we chat with Noah, I wanted to share with you a favorite moment from my week. There are so many just funny and, you know, really beautiful moments sometimes throughout the week that can happen in the classroom or just interactions with our own children at home or the students in our life. And so I thought I'd take a moment each week just to share with you just a little story from my week. So one of my favorite moments from this week occurred when a four-year-old child happened to walk past a group of elementary students who were working on a big research project about animals from Antarctica, and they had their supplies and their research notes and their pictures of their animals all spread out throughout the lunchroom, and she'd been passing by on her way to probably wash her hands for snack or something, and she stopped suddenly in the middle of the room, and she's, you know, of course, very cute and very, very animated as a four-year-old. And she stopped and she gasped and she said, "I know these animals." And I said, "You do?" And she said, "I'm learning them." And then she insisted that I come with her to her classroom as she was talking on and on about the different animals. And some of them, she couldn't pronounce their names quite yet, or couldn't remember the full name, but she definitely was making that connection. And so she took me into her classroom and she was making a book. That was the work that she had been doing that afternoon about those exact same animals from Antarctica. And the reason why, not only was this moment just really sweet, but the reason why it stood out to me as one of my favorite moments from the week is that it is very purposeful in our school that all of the students from our primary community, our toddler community, all the way up to our upper elementary, we all study, we all follow the same timeline of studying the continents. And the reason for that is so that as a school community, the conversations, the games at recess, the books that we're all reading can all have some kind of commonality. And so seeing her make that connection was just a really wonderful reminder that children are constantly absorbing, paying attention, taking in whatever is around them in their environment. And for her to see that the older children whom she looks up to, whom she admires, to see that they were learning the same thing as her made her feel so proud and made her feel that connection to her school family. And I think that as teachers, as administrators, as parents, as family members, it's really important to not take that for granted, to really try and, you know, see the child as a person, especially the young child who is capable of learning the same animals, cultural experiences, names of things as even the oldest children in the school. So her joy, her excitement was one of my favorite moments from this week. So now we're going to welcome our guest today. And again, his name is Noah Anderson. And I'm really excited to have him here with me today to chat about Montessori and his own school experience and wherever this conversation might lead us. So welcome, Noah. How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So obviously I know a lot about you, but I think that as, you know, it's normal, it's healthy that as, now that you're a teenager, there's definitely some things that, you know, maybe we don't converse about on a daily basis. And I do think it's really fascinating when I think about my own childhood compared to yours. I mean, definitely there's some things that my parents instilled in me and experiences that they made sure that I had, as well as your dad's. There's obviously things that we've wanted to provide for you. But I think the biggest difference between our childhoods, yours, mine, your dad's, is that your dad and I were not raised in Montessori school. We did not have that upbringing. Even though my mom was a teacher, she became a teacher when I was already a teenager. So even that experience was really different. So, yeah, so I'm excited to learn kind of your perspective on that Montessori experience from all the time, from all the way back from when you were a toddler, all the way through elementary, and then now you're in public high school. So let's start with finding out just some of your memories from being in Montessori school, and how, like, what kinds of things do you remember? Is there a vivid, like, a moment, a funny story, a favorite teacher, something that you remember about your Montessori experience? Because I guess I should share that Noah is a sophomore. No, freshman. I don't even know what grade you're in. He's a freshman in high school. So it's been a few years since he's been in Montessori. He went
just a few.
Yeah, until sixth grade. So yeah, what's one of your favorite memories or something funny or maybe something not favorite? So it's hard, I think, when you think back on your childhood and it's still in some ways happening as a teenager. I mean, you're obviously not an adult yet, so it can be hard to think, wait, what was I doing back then? And I'll just share with our listeners that Noah actually attended a few different Montessori schools based on where we lived. So he very, very first, which he would not remember this, he attended a Montessori school in Portland when he was a newborn. He was actually part of my training institute's class for their teachers in training. So it was for the assistance to infancy course in Portland, and they needed volunteer infants for their students to work with. And so I volunteered Noah, and he was only a couple months old, and he was a wonderful model student. He rolled over for the first time there, and they thought he was just so brilliant that at such a young age he could already do that. And then when he was around three, he attended another Montessori school in, we had moved back to Idaho, and so he was attending a school in Pullman, Washington, the Montessori School of Pullman. That was a wonderful experience. And then I opened the school that I still currently run and own, Children's House Montessori School in Lewiston. So then he attended that school. So Noah, does any of that jog any of your memories of some of your favorite moments or things that you remember? Things that you got to do, materials you remember. I will tell one funny story that Noah probably does not remember. And this is one of those times when, you know, people have this preconceived notion that, oh, Montessori children, you know, whose parents are Montessori teachers, the children are probably so well behaved and they have this like lovely home with everything, just, you know, this idyllic Montessori environment all the time and all of the things. And it's really just a misconception. Like, we are all still just doing our best every day. And especially when you're an educator in a classroom, that, you know, when you come home, you're tired. And, you know, you hope that you can give the best to your children always, no matter what your profession is. But anyway, so Noah, he would do the aftercare program at his Montessori school, because obviously I was working, and so I would need to stay late every day. And he loved aftercare. He had this amazing aftercare teacher named Miss Colleen, who was a lot like a grandma, and she just absolutely adored all of the children. And she had this beautiful setup with lots of crafts and art and train sets. And the best thing ever was gigantic Playmobil sets with, and every month she would change it to a different one. So she had the castle, she had the farm, she had the house, she had all the things. And it lived on one table in her classroom, and the children could play at it and pretend and imagine and have conversations. And it was Noah's favorite thing. It was so much your favorite thing, Noah, that you hated leaving every day. Every single day you would. Do you remember this?
Not at all.
You would get so upset. You would cry. You would scream. You would. And even if I tried all of the things, I tried coming in and giving the gentle warnings of, Noah, I'm almost finished with my work. We're going to be leaving. And, you know, we would talk and I would spend some time in there with you. You would show me what you were playing and then I would give you a reminder and then I would come back. And I worked really hard to leave at the same time every day so that you would build up a routine in your system. But no, you you did not want to leave. So I was the Montessori teacher who was literally football hold, like, packing her screaming child out of there because it just got to a point where there was really nothing else I could do. And then, of course, Miss Colleen felt terrible and, you know, but really that's one of those moments as a parent where obviously I can look back on that now and I can laugh and I can think, like, you were a lot of work, but we both learned a lot from that. And what's really funny is, so in Montessori, if some of my listeners don't know, we work on intrinsic rewards. So we don't do, you know, external, you know, with the sticker charts or bribery or I will get you this if you do this. And at some point, because of your screaming, all of that went out the window. And suddenly there was a sticker chart that the aftercare program had never had a sticker chart for anybody before. Because of Noah, you don't remember any of this?
No, but I can say that I am an influencer and still am.
Well, you are, you know, you inspired and influenced and changed entire systems of that school program where everyone ended up with a sticker chart because they weren't going to just give a sticker chart to Noah, of course. Everybody, and none of the other children struggled with this, but everybody got their name on a piece of paper. And if they could clean up and leave when their parents arrived, they would get a sticker next to their name. And they never got anything. They only ever got the sticker. But I just, so I'm curious if that program still uses that to this day. It's been a long time. What about your elementary? Do you have any memories of some fun things that, some antics that you got up to in the elementary program at, and this would be at Children's House at my school?
Oh, not exactly at your school.
Well, where do you mean? So,
my schooling, I have gone to Webster Elementary and her school for a while.
Kindergarten half day and then first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have an elementary program yet.
And while I was at that school, I was very mischievous, I guess.
Mischievous, yeah.
And so at that school, they have this thing where if you do a certain thing a certain way, then they tell you not to do that certain thing a certain way. So they do so by making you write down on a piece of paper, like, I will not do this again. I will never do this again. I am sorry. Or something along those lines. I can't remember. It's been like 18 years.
Well, you're 14. That's okay.
And then,
so you would write it out.
I would write it out. And then Well, I guess I would accumulate these over like a whole year. I got like one every day, and I would just keep them hidden, stashed
so,
away,
so
never to be seen again. I got like 500 of them by the end of the year.
So this comes down to, so as parents, you know, we were more interested in Noah's, was he happy at school? Was he, was he trying? Was he being kind? You know, we weren't really necessarily concerned with, is he failing academically?
You are now.
Well, high school's a little different. But yeah, so obviously what I'm getting at is that we had no idea. When we had our parent-teacher conference, we were told that he talked a lot. But so I'm just curious if, so you had gone to Montessori for, you know, all of your primary years, all of your toddler for the most part. There was a little bit of daycare in there, not Montessori based. And then so half day kindergarten and then all day first grade elementary, because we didn't have the elementary program yet at my school. And I'm just wondering if having many years of independence and ability to move through the classroom and ability to choose your own activity and work at it at your own pace, how much that, and you may not even remember, but how much that impacted your sense of self and independence once you were in a more general education classroom where you were not, you know, you had to sit in a chair, you had to do what everyone else was doing, you had to wait your turn in more ways than in a Montessori classroom. Or I guess I should say in different ways, because we definitely have to wait our turn in a Montessori classroom, but it's just much more at the pace of the adult in a general education classroom rather than obviously at the pace of the child. So do you think that that maybe had, do you think that was part of it? Or do you think it's just your personality to defy the, maybe a combination?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I spaced out and wasn't listening to that entire thing.
Oh, well, and this is what you get, I guess, listeners, when you invite your teenage son to listen to you ramble on. But so I do think, I guess I'll just give my perspective as your parent. I think that's a really big part of it, is that, you know, it was vastly different for you. And obviously you had to adapt. But I also, you know, I really valued that time. I feel like you and I both learned a lot about your learning style and what was to come. In terms of being a part of the general education classroom. All right, so let's talk about, are there any, kind of going off of that, do you think that you gained any skills by being, so then you came back to Montessori from second grade to sixth grade. So do you think that during that time there are any skills or ways of thinking or ideas about learning that you took with you now as you've moved on into, like, now you're past middle school and you're into high school in the public school? Like maybe even opportunities to take a music class, a violin class every day at the Montessori school, or being introduced to ideas of different cultures or in different countries and learning so much geography. Like, do you think any of that, a lot of writing, research?
Okay, so Montessori has really helped me with, I feel like as if I'm almost like ahead of everybody else, because a lot of other people are like stuck trying to figure out how to like research or like write a paragraph or an essay or something, which of course I'm past that now that I'm in high school, but back when I was like starting middle school and stuff, it was mostly just like that. Like, a lot of people were having trouble do stuff, or we spent just a lot of time learning those things when I've already learned them in Montessori. And then with history and social studies and things, it was interesting because a lot of that stuff that I learned in social studies and history in middle school and now I already knew, even with science, like my last science test or quiz or whatever, I've basically gotten A's on all of my science stuff because all of that stuff I've already learned. Like, it's all like, what's the atmosphere, or name our planets in our solar system, which I've been learning for like the past 20 years.
Or, you know, math. Math might not be a strength.
Speaking of math.
So what I'm hearing and what I witness as your parent, who also was your sixth grade teacher. We haven't really touched on that yet, but that was a time. What I'm hearing from that is that there's a lot of the fact-based things of, like, you know, geography, where places are, the oceans, history, you know, different events in history. Like, for example, we were told at a parent night in middle school that they talk about the Holocaust once a year for like a couple of weeks in one grade. And that was only this specific set of teachers. The other teachers taught some other moment in history. I'm not sure what the other team was teaching, but to not have this base. So for some of these children, they're not hearing about any of these things in the elementary years. And in Montessori, we're building this. It's like, I always, you know, imagine it's like building a cake or the layers of the earth, or, you know, you have this foundation and then you're just adding to it and adding to it and adding to it. And I have a lot of parents, a question that I get asked all the time is, you know, how will my child do? And how are they going to know how to do all of the other things that the public school children know? And
your one answer is they'll figure it out.
Well, they will figure it out because in a Montessori environment, we're already being raised to, we're being guided to that place of, I can follow my interests. I can recognize my mistake through self-correcting, you know, materials, and where I realize like it's not a teacher telling me, oh, you did that wrong. It's more of the material is sharing with you, oh, those beads don't fit there. So,
or in other words, you suck. Do it again.
Hey, now, we obviously, that would never occur, but no, I just think it's really
interesting.
I think it's just really interesting to kind of reflect back on how it's kind of going back to the story, my favorite moment of not being afraid that, oh, a four-year-old's not going to want to learn the names of all the different birds of Antarctica. Well, yes, she is. And how is that information and that wonder and that even that skill going to be able to serve her later on in life? Well, it's going to prepare her mind for scientific information and for vocabulary, and it's going to make her excited to, you know, to learn more and to kind of continue to seek that knowledge. And that's actually what I see a lot of in you and your, even now and in your high school experience, that you seem to genuinely enjoy, you know, many of your classes, like, and having different teachers. So let's talk about that a little bit. So how do you like high school? How's it going?
High school's cool. High school is cool.
Okay. And high school's cool.
High school is cool.
Well, that's actually really good to hear, because I also do think, and obviously everybody's their own person, so not just because Noah's having a specific experience doesn't mean that your child will have the exact same experience, obviously. But I do feel like that high school in general, whether your child attends Montessori or another private school or a charter school or a public school, I do think that high school is for parents, it's kind of a scary time. It's like, are you going to be okay? Unfortunately, now we have to worry, will you be safe? You know, what's going to happen to you? I mean, I'm sure your dad probably doesn't go down that road, but I do. And I think, you know, are people going to be nice? Are you going to...
When is Montessori going to have, like, the fight lesson where you, like, learn how to beat kids up and stuff? When's that going to come in?
Come on. So now you're just being funny, but... We teach peace. We're not going to teach children how to defend themselves. Although I will say that karate has been a great experience for a lot of our students.
Montessori should do a karate
season. There are some schools that I follow, a few Montessori schools that do offer karate within the school. It's pretty awesome. So no, really though, like how do you feel that your high school experience is now differing from middle school, which we've talked about a little bit how that differed from Montessori? Like what is different about high school for you?
High school is very much do this, do that, do this then or not. If you don't, then too bad, so sad. You fail the class.
So it's a lot more just on you.
Uh-huh.
Not as much like hand-holding.
No.
Yeah. But isn't there some, is there an aspect of you that likes having that kind of that freedom of like you, because you were saying earlier how not, when we were just chatting, you were saying that, you know, like in middle school, you weren't even allowed to have a water bottle. You know, it was like a lot more strict of your actual, the freedom that you all had. And now in high school, that's changed.
Yeah.
Can you give any other examples of that or?
In a way it's changed. Yeah. Like it's got, like, I mean, the water bottle thing is that water bottles were not allowed at school. But I think part of the reason why they allow water bottles on high school is because they don't have any of the drinking fountains on.
Oh, so maybe it's changed at the high school anyway just because of COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about COVID. So what can you tell us a little bit about how your school experience changed when the pandemic began and school shut down last year? What did you have to do?
Well, I mean, yeah, all of that stuff was like basically optional.
No, I mean, like share with the listeners, were you fully online? What happened? No.
It was like, they almost wanted it to be fully online and they realized that that's not going to work and no one wanted to do that. So they didn't. And they just gave us stuff to do and turn in.
So not like Zoom sessions or... Mm.
Nope.
So that's the other interesting thing is that every school, it seems like across the country, was just trying their best to survive, you know, and some teachers like fully invested in all kinds of recording equipment so they could make these awesome Zoom videos, and you were mostly just on like Google Classroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you feel like that impacted your school experience? Like, did you feel like you were successful at that, or was it really a challenge?
Yeah, it was a challenge to be like motivated to do work because there wasn't really anything to get out of it. It was the end of the year too, so a ton of the stuff we were doing wasn't really learning anything. It was mostly getting ready for ISATs and stuff like that.
Did you end up taking the ISATs? I don't even remember.
They basically gave everyone 100.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, doesn't matter since those.
Do you think that, I don't know if you ever think on this kind of thing, but do you think like, so having grown up in a Montessori school with a Montessori teacher mom and a dad who really believes that you are responsible, not that we don't support you, but basically it's up to you, you know, lead the horse to water, can't make them drink kind of a thing of, well, if that's how you want to treat that class or if that's how you view your grade, then that's it. So, I mean, having all of that as your background, do you feel like that time when the schools were closed, do you think you, I mean, because I know some kids that, you know, they were like stressed out and pressured, and then other kids who just did nothing. And then just as a parent perspective with you, I feel like, well, no, you were middle of the road. You were kind of, you kind of kept in touch with, you know.
I kept in touch. I didn't do any of the stuff though. I started it, but never finished it.
Okay. So how do you think that's going to impact you in the long run? Do you think there's the...
I don't think it'll impact me at all. Like, I basically just felt I don't think it will impact me by not doing, finishing my work,
okay.
I guess.
So do you think that having had all of the experiences that you've had, the Montessori school and the different educational experiences, and do you think that any of that has influenced your view of grades or...
I think grades are dumb. Is that what you're asking?
Okay, yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking, sure. So you don't think grades are really necessary?
No, of course not.
So, but I'll tell you this, as you know, as your parent, you, and I hope this doesn't, you know, change your attitude or behavior, but you seem to really, really like school.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I think this is good for our listeners who are, you know, maybe parents themselves and maybe even parents with Montessori children or children in, you know, general education classrooms, that more traditional kind of public school model. I think it's good for them to hear that you can actually have a child who is trying in school because they like school, not because they're going to get an A+ or a gold sticker on the sticker chart. So, yeah. So tell it, like, what do you like about school? Have you ever thought about why you like school?
I don't know. I mostly like it just to talk to friends and stuff. That's basically it. Like, it feels like just a hangout time, except in between hangouts, you just have to do a bunch of work.
Okay, but, and I can say this because you are my son and I know you really well on some levels.
What, that I don't have friends?
No. Of course you have one friend, right?
One or two. Maybe right? Three, maybe four.
Shout out there to RIP Red Chair.
No one will understand.
No, that's cool. It's inside joke, listeners. No, but really, you do have friends. But no, I think from my perspective that you come home and you talk about things that you're learning in science or something that happened in your world history class. We didn't share this with everyone, but Noah actually has three electives. Do you want to say what your electives are? I mean, I can talk for you, but.
I got it. Okay. I was blanking on the third one. Orchestra, piano, keyboarding, which is changing next semester.
Well, it's music appreciation now.
Yeah, music appreciation now. And band.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, as an educator, and more specifically a Montessori educator, I really do feel that... if there's a gift that we can give our children, an understanding that we can develop within ourselves, is that school needs to be more than this perceived notion of academic success. I mean, no, I do not want you to flunk out of high school. And I really don't want you to ruin summer plans that we have as a family by needing to attend summer school, you know, because I will leave you behind. But, so I do think that there needs to be some sense of responsibility instilled, you know, and guiding your children towards, well, this is one of the aspects in order to succeed, but an A isn't the only way to succeed. And I really believe that, you know, it is much better for your child to feel happy about being at school. And even if it's not, you know, this idyllic farm school, this like Montessori high school, you know, not all of us have access to that. And, you know, I feel like the community that we live in has pretty good schools. And, you know, there's a lot of really high quality teachers here who care. But just like anywhere, you know, there's going to be the people that aren't really as invested and aren't necessarily a fun experience for their students. But I do genuinely feel like for Noah, for you, that you come home liking some aspects of your day. And I think that means more to me as a parent than you being this like straight A student who's, you know, maybe going to be awarded every scholarship. We should kind of talk a little bit about the music aspect. So, do you remember when you started taking lessons? Do you remember that progression of things?
Yes, sort of.
What do you remember?
I remember starting out playing in a classroom at your school and then slowly going up. And I remember getting better, I guess. And then I never really, like, I kind of plateaued for a while.
Like with this, violin, with you're violin. Talking about?
Yes, with violin. And then I went to middle school and started their orchestra program that they just started. And then I really just went.
Right, and so, and I'm not sure how much of this you remember, but we kind of simultaneously had the opportunity to have Noah take piano classes, piano lessons, and then as well as violin. And violin just kind of came about because I think you showed an interest in it somehow. I can't even remember specifically. We have a very good friend in town, Nathaniel Tucker, who has a violin studio here, and he was offering lessons, and I think it was mainly there was an older student in my school who had asked if they could have their lessons at the school, like during the school day. And I was like, yes, for sure. And so he gained some other students from that. And one of them was Noah, but I think you were young. You were like,
I was seven.
Seven. Okay. So it was, yeah.
7 years ago I was when I started.
So yeah. So really, I mean, gosh, you know, I'm constantly sharing with parents that, you know, I have a lot of people ask me, oh, is my child too young to start piano? Is my child too young to start violin? And really, a lot of that depends on your child. If your child shows an interest, if your child, you know, has a curiosity about a musical instrument or music in general, or even other forms of art, sports, I mean, you can find an outlet for them that is suited, you know, to their skills. So his piano lessons were really short and they were with his cousin. So, I mean, they were fun, they were short. And then the other thing that his dad and I really decided was that, well, your dad, I guess I should say, you're here. But what one thing that we decided was that we weren't going to really pressure you. And I don't even know if you realize this, but our goal was not to make you some concert violinist. I mean, if that's what you want, we will definitely support you in that. But we weren't forcing practice. I mean, of course I tried. You know, we tried different, and well, I tried different tactics to try and encourage you to practice. But honestly, I can say now that the fact that you still want to play all of these instruments and you're adding more and you love music so much and you have the same violin teacher, I think that that just, it makes me so grateful that I did not make you hate that instrument by making you practice. And I think that so many parents just go down this road of, I'm paying for this. This is expensive. You better show me that you care. I'm setting the timer. Or even some parents that are standing over their child, some parents that take the classes with their child. And I just think it goes back to that, you know, and of course, every child's different. And maybe some kids really respond to that. But you, clearly from your stories earlier, have always been so independent and so just needed your own space on certain things to figure things out, that I allowed you to develop a relationship with Mr. Nathaniel and let your time with him be enough. And I don't know, I just feel like I'm going to pat myself on the back, because that was kind of just definitely through trial and error and through me not wanting to ruin that interest for you. So, I don't know, do you have any awareness of that? Like, do you?
Yes, very. I know people who are basically forced to play instruments and stuff by their parents, and they do not like it. Like, yeah. One bit. And I definitely, actually, what's funny about that is that one of my friends, he is very talented at violin. And he just wanted to play it, and then he did, and he got really good, and he did all the stuff himself. He's learned everything himself. Besides, he also takes lessons with Nathaniel, but yeah, he's just really good at it, and it was never once his parents who told him to do anything like that.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that. That's really cool. So I just think, you know, that's another really good example of following the child's interest and supporting them. And, you know, now we're fairly heavily invested in your music endeavors, but I feel like, I mean, you're contributing financially on some levels, and I feel like you have a really good appreciation. So Noah also takes takes trumpet lessons too.
Not to toot my own horn or anything.
Not to toot his own horn. yeah. So, and I, you know, I also think a lot about how, and I've probably said this to you in a moment of weakness in parenting, but so many parents are like, well, someday you're going to wish that you kept those lessons, or I wish I could play like that. I mean, I know I've said those things to you.
Oh, yeah, and, like 50 times every day, every week.
It's just another really good example of, you know, even with degrees in education and lots of experience in education and specifically Montessori education, you know, none of us are perfect parents. All of us have our moments. And I'm just so grateful that I've been able to learn so much from you. And I do. I love music, and I was given the opportunity to take lessons, but you just have a different passion for it. And so, whatever, I guess you don't have to practice, but it'd be cool if you did. let's go. Okay, I want to kind of go back. So how we ended up in that, down that road was talking about your high school experience. And let's talk just a little bit more about like COVID and high school and where we live. So how do you, like, what's your take on, so maybe you don't know this, but like developmentally, you know, these years are the time when you start to really figure out not only who you are, but also your place in the world. And that's where we have a lot of, you know, rebellion, seeking identity through what we wear, who we spend time with, the music we listen to, the things we watch. So then we come around to all of the COVID requirements and the wearing a mask to school. Share with us, like, what your school requires and how you feel about it, and just any of your thoughts, like, socially about that.
Funny is that despite being required, I don't think I've seen very many people. I mean, you can see the occasional mask, but most of the time they're just hanging out below the chin, and I haven't really heard anybody say anything either. I mean, every once in a while you hear a teacher that goes like, hey, put it back on, or like something like that. Like,
so
my French teacher does that. Like, she's always reminding people, which is nice.
So the teachers aren't like the mask police anymore?
Some of them still are.
Oh, okay.
Most of them are.
That's not my term, by the way. That's what we've been calling it when the teachers have to stand out in the hallway and hand out masks to people who don't have them. And
I think they've almost like given up.
That's really sad. So you wear your mask.
Oh, totally.
So tell us about that experience. Like, do your friends wear their masks?
Yes.
Same.
I don't really hang out with anybody that doesn't wear a mask.
Okay. And why? Why do you think it's important?
Well, because I believe that COVID is in fact real and not fake and very dangerous and not something I want to deal with. So I wear a mask and not hang around people who don't wear masks.
There you go. So do you have, are you guys ever like made fun of or ridiculed or have to answer to anybody, or do people just kind of leave you alone about it?
No, I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about someone who's wearing a mask.
Okay.
Wearing a mask, which is weird because, like, people, I know people who you can tell, like, totally would wear a mask normally, but they don't for some reason. I think it is just a fit in or something with the majority of people, which is sad because that is the majority of people that don't wear masks.
Right.
And then, which, of course, yeah.
But your teachers all wear masks, though.
Yes.
Because they have to now, right? They're supposed to. Do they?
All of my teachers I have, but I've seen some teachers who don't.
Oh, interesting. So let's kind of talk about that with like that social justice aspect, because in Montessori education, we spend a lot of our time, probably, well, at least in my school, we spend the majority of the day speaking about, you know, having family meetings and conversations about, you know, how we treat each other and how we view the world, and we ask questions, and you know, we learn about public figures and the choices they're making and the things that they're demonstrating and what they stand for. And so I'm just wondering, if do you think that having been brought up in that way is kind of really showing through right now during this time of global pandemic and government, you know, attacks on the Capitol and
all very that? Much so. Montessori is really like, it really makes you think for yourself. Whereas a lot of this, I don't think the public school system does not let you think for yourself, like almost at all. It mostly just tells you what to know and to think. And then you have to do those things and think those ways because, I mean, of course.
Do you think that comes down to the specific teacher though? Or do you think that's like policy in the schools that you've gone to?
Not necessary policy. I think it's just, because of the system with the grades and with all that, you basically have to, because by the end of the semester, you have to know a certain thing.
Oh, so they just don't have time.
They just don't have time to let you do that. You have to do certain things, certain like wins.
Right. So I had an interesting moment recently happening to get my first round of the COVID-19 vaccine, and ended up in the waiting room meeting one of Noah's one of his awesome teachers at the high school, and it happened to be the inauguration day. And I was so excited because I was able to spend the entire morning with my upper elementary students on a virtual tour of the inauguration, and we virtually toured the Capitol, and it was just awesome. And I asked him, did you watch any of the inauguration with your students? Because he teaches world history and civics and maybe even government. I don't know what else he teaches. But anyway, he was like, no, unfortunately, he's like, I might have to circle back around to that because we had finals. And I mean, I understand that. Like, I understand that there is a schedule and the semester is ending. But gosh, like, just as an educator too, he was so defeated. Like, I felt really bad for him. And you could tell that he knew. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's historic and it only happens every 4 years. And this one just happened to be extremely historic for many reasons.
I don't think the teachers are allowed to talk. I mean, it's not that they're allowed, but if they like speak anything about politics, then parents will get mad.
He couldn't give his opinion probably, no, but he could teach the facts, right? Don't you think?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. No. Students are very, very like, it's more so the parents. They're like, if you just bring it up, then it's not.
Well, so, I mean, I guess we should point out.
No one talked about the Capitol raid either.
Oh.
No one ever brought that up ever in that class. The only class that did was journalism. That was the only class that did.
Well, and I think, I mean, on one level, the listeners should know that, you know, we are in, you know, we're in Idaho. We're in a bigger town, but it's still considered rural in many ways. And, you know, I mean, there's definitely, there is some, you know, diversity around here, and there are some progressively minded people. There are, but it's definitely a bubble. So I don't know. I guess, too, as a parent, that I just feel even more grateful that you had access to a Montessori education. I mean, I had to make you the school, literally. But I'm just so grateful for that, because I just think about, you know, the kids who maybe don't have the opportunity to learn about, you know, even just things like why even an inauguration is special. I mean, let alone the fact that, you know, it's the first woman to be elected vice president. I mean, that is huge for our country. Just even that small thing. And just that, you know, that there's not, I don't know. I just, apparently that's just maybe part of the culture that we're living in specifically, where just maybe the overall, the general public just doesn't feel like those are subjects that they can touch on. I'm not really sure, but I'm hopeful that that's not the case everywhere, because I do have, friends and people that I follow on social media who are teachers in other cities and states, and I know that that's not the case for them. All right, so kind of let's talk about, so a lot of, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but one of the biggest questions that I get asked all the time is your transition from, you know, Montessori up to the high, like the public school, and not even just high school, but just moving from that small Montessori school into, you know, into the public school classroom. And a lot of parents worry, oh, is my child going to be okay? And so I guess I just kind of want to hear from you, like, if you could tell like one bit of advice or reason why parents should maybe consider staying in Montessori through elementary, like what would it be?
Just stay in Montessori?
Well, no, like if, yeah. So like, let's say like, what was it a terrible transition, or was it okay? Or
it was fine.
And then do you have any advice of like?
I mean, the worst part about it was everyone asking me if I was homeschooled or not.
So, okay. So brace yourself for that you're going to have to explain where you went to school.
I explained it like 5 times every day almost.
Right. Cause yeah, Montessori is not really a common term around here. I mean, it's getting more known, but so do you think that the transition was, so it was pretty easy?
Oh yeah, it was fine. Well, probably because I was going into a school that no one, like it was seventh grade. Right. Everyone was transitioning.
Right. So that's the advice that I give parents, is that honestly, if you're going to make the switch, waiting until that, when the entire community is switching to a new school, is really helpful, for your child to kind of adapt a bit quicker. So do you have any advice for Montessori students who are getting ready to make that leap, to leave their little Montessori school and moving on, or any advice for parents of like maybe what to expect or ways they can help their child, things that maybe I failed at or your dad and I did well?
I don't know, actually. I think it's more so just don't be worried about it at all. Like, they'll be fine no matter what happens, I guess.
Yeah.
Like they will make friends. I mean, I did, like, almost instantly.
Yeah, I guess we should add that Noah was the only graduating sixth grader that year, and so mm-hmm. he had played baseball and done karate, but he didn't really, like, know any kids going in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just do it.
Just do it. Hashtag not sponsored.
But. Not sponsored. Speaking of which, our sponsor for today. Now,
come on. Okay, so the last question, just to kind of wrap this up. Do you want to share any of your hopes, dreams, plans, ideas for future you?
Future me? I want to maybe go to college for like couple years, 4 years maybe, and then
it's like the average.
Average, basically.
I guess you can go 2 years or beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond four.
And I want to become an English teacher, and then I want out. I'm leaving this country.
Oh. Wait, what? No, I'm just joking. I already knew that. Yeah, where do you want to go?
I've got there's four, I think.
That's eight.
Four places I want to go. I was thinking Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, or France were okay. My places that I wanted to go.
So just a little Montessori plug here. You know, there are Montessori schools in all of those countries.
I know that. Even still, it doesn't have to be Montessori.
I know. You're thinking more of teaching English as a foreign language, too. Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, Noah, thank you so much for your time today. I feel like I learned a lot from you, and I really am confident that our listeners gained a lot of insight, kind of about
all two of them.
All two insights. No, I just think it's really important. It's kind of, again, going back to my favorite moment from the beginning of the episode, that, you know, So just as we're not going to view the very young child as someone who is not capable or interested or worthy of learning a skill or gaining some kind of new information. I think it's the same with our teenagers, that showing that respect, which again is, I'm not perfect. I definitely have moments of, you know, maybe not communicating in the greatest way or, you know, conducting myself in the most patient way. I am working on it. And, you know, I just think, though, it's important for us as adults, parents, educators to value the perspective of your actual experience. So this was really cool to get to hear from you. Oh, one little tip that we were talking about earlier that I think is also a good maybe reminder to end on, going back to that respect, is we're talking about social media and teens and just anybody in general, really not even teenagers, but just that as a parent, remembering that we should probably ask our child before we post a picture of them on social media. They might not want you tagging them. They might not want you as their parent. Again, you learn something new every day. And I was today years old when I learned that, I mean, I usually am pretty good about letting my kids know that a picture of them is about to go on the internet. But I just think that's really good that was brought to my attention. And Noah agreed that, I mean, just like I wouldn't want him to post a weird picture of me on his Instagram. That would be horrible. Or Snapchat or anywhere else. So I think that's a really important conversation. And just, it just goes back to that mutual respect and that, you know, teenagers are cool sometimes.
They're fine.
All right, Noah. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners. And I hope that everyone has a wonderful week out there in the world. And I look forward to sharing more with you next time. Bye.
Bye.